Are you ready? Turn to Mark chapter 1. And you guys bear with me. It could be one of those anything happen type services. Of course, they're all like that, aren't they? And Thursday nights have stepped up on a whole other level of stuff happening every week. That's kind of a commercial. Mark chapter 1. And I want to go to verse number 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized. How about that? Was baptized of John in Jordan, the river. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now here we see Jesus receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? He didn't have to be born again. He was already made righteous, right? He was birth righteous. So here he receives the impartation of the baptism of the Spirit, and he's ready to begin his earthly ministry. I saw there's a movie now out called Young Jesus. Don't go see that stupid thing. Of all these miracles Jesus was doing as a child, you know, his young ministry, like young Indiana Jones. And there's nothing in Scripture to indicate that. In fact, the Word says he did his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, right? After this took place. And so we see him get filled with the Spirit. He's ready to begin his ministry. You would think everything's good to go, right? Everything's ready for takeoff. But it says in verse 12, and immediately, everybody say immediately, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now here we see, as soon as he's filled with the Spirit, you'd think he's ready to go. But there's a time of testing to take place, right? And it says immediately, I mean as soon as this happens, he's driven by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Now, was God testing him? No. It says in James that God does not test, tempt, or try anybody with evil. Right? But he drove him to a place where he knew he would be tested. There is a difference. And Satan, trying to stop this ministry from ever taking off, brought to him the three temptations we know of after 40 days of fasting. Right? In that wilderness. Don't think it strange you're going through some times of trial. God's getting you ready for promotion. Amen. You cannot go into the glory without first going through a time of confrontation with the one that would try to keep you or hinder you from the glory. Amen. And Jesus, having passed these tests, immediately begins his ministry. And about 3 weeks ago, we started a teaching on that God's brought us into a season of accelerated development as a church and as the body of Christ in these end times. For those that are in revival, those that are in the flow of what God's doing. And so go over to Mark. Well, we're in Mark, aren't we? Go to verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway or immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, we see Jesus, when he is called, when he's baptized in the Spirit, and God commends him, he says, I'm well pleased in him. There was still a time of testing. He begins his ministry. And then he goes and calls the disciples. He says, come and follow me. And it says, straightway or immediately they left their nets. Jesus was called to a time of following immediately. You remember the story of Elisha and Elijah? God told Elijah to go find Elisha and anoint him to be prophet in thy stead. Of course, it was going to take another 20 years ago or so for the mantle to be passed. But Elisha, when Elijah came to him, he was plowing with all these oxen. Apparently had some money. I mean, we're talking about several teams of oxen. He leading one of them. So he had land. He had possessions. This was not some poor guy that God pulled up out of the gutter. This was a man of success. And Elijah says, come and follow me in so many words. And Elisha basically said, well, let me go, you know, take care of some business. And Elijah, do what you want to do. I'm going that way. In other words, you can come or stay, but here's an opportunity. So Elisha burns the plow, kills the oxen, sacrifices him, and immediately he followed Elijah into this opportunity. God had to bring Elijah into it immediately. He brought Jesus into immediately. So we see through the scripture this full coming to pass. And then he called the disciples and immediately they followed him. They left the past behind. They left their nets behind. We see in the birthing of the church, immediately after immediately is taking place. We went through these 3 weeks ago. Remember this? I mean, here they are in Mark chapter 4 where they're hearing the parable of the sower. And they spend all day in his teaching and immediately they get into a boat. Jesus said, we're going to the other side, and there arose a great storm against them, such that the boat began to sink. They woke up Jesus, and he said, peace be still to the storm, and immediately there was a great calm. And then when they got to the other side, immediately there met them a man from the tombs possessed with devils. Jesus took his church birthing disciples into accelerated training. He knew only had so many years to get them ready to carry the baton to birth this church that was going to manifest the glory. Right? So he had to get as much into them as quick as he could to get them ready to do it. It took him 3.5 years. And even then, they were in doubt. Right away, they get baptized with the Spirit. Amen. And immediately, here we see Jesus, or Peter and John doing miracles to the lame man. It says they went to the lame man. They said, silver and gold have we none. Such as we have, give we unto thee. Rise and walk. And it says, immediately the man arose. Amen. Immediately their ministry took off. And Acts covers a series of events over 27 years. Of accelerated birthing of the church. I mean, think about it. You know, some of you are young enough, 27 years seems like a long time. I'm old enough, it doesn't. 27 years, I mean, my youngest daughter's that old. That doesn't seem about like very long at all. And in 27 years, God took the church from the crucifixion where everything looked lost to the church was worldwide. Through 12 individuals and who God added after that point. What a powerful set, or what a powerful move of God. Can you see how that would take an immediate or an accelerated flow of events to do that? Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm convinced we don't have 27 years left. And God said He's coming back for a glorious church. A church of bride without spot or wrinkle. He has plans for His end times just to carry His glory. I'm telling you what, this anointing, oh glory, that I've been in for the last week is awesome. But it's not the glory yet. But God's taking us from faith to faith and level of anointing to level of anointing unto the glory. And if God had to accelerate Jesus' training through immediately driving Him into this series of tests, if immediately the disciples had to leave their nets and go through a series of 3.5 years of day after day, I believe it was without stop. I don't believe we find any cases of the disciples going to the Riviera for a 2-week vacation. It was nonstop 3.5 years of training. Now I'm sure they would rest during the Sabbath to some level. But even then the demands on Jesus were so high, that was in question. They were in nonstop training. And I'm here to tell you, I'm convinced, and I believe this is what the Lord showed me, is we're stepping into this year. Pastor Callan's got it as a year of increase. I've got it a year of accelerated development. That God is about to accelerate your training And you're going to be going through one opportunity after another opportunity to witness, to pray for people, to lay hands on people. You know, for me, I understand as a minister, I get this all the time, but throughout my day, I've got people saying, pray for me. I mean, people writing me on Facebook, people calling me, you know, at church, out. I'll run to people out in town and, would you pray for me? Pray for my, you know, second cousin twice removed over. Jesus. There are opportunities. I got a hold of this years ago, and then I heard Lance Wall now confirm it several years back as well, that anytime he shakes hands with somebody is an opportunity to release the anointing. We are carriers of the power of God. So if I go to shake hands with somebody, I don't have to say a word. I can say, how are you? But in my mind, I'm going, Father, bless them right now in Jesus' name. Let the anointing touch their life. There are opportunities. Every interaction you have with somebody is an opportunity to hear God, how to speak into their life. You don't have to prophesy, but I mean just to be a blessing. But God wants to step it up. He wants to bring you open doors of opportunity. Chances to expand into moving into His kingdom. Both believing for His blessing, moving out with the power of God. I'm hearing right now that God wants to take some of you into ministry activities. Whether it's to work in nursing homes, whether it's to do visitations, whatever, but God's drawing on you to step out and start using the gifts that are on your life. And sometimes you just got to take a step of faith and go do it. Or see me if you're wanting to know possibilities. He wants to pull us out of routine into the ridiculous as far as moving out in the power of God. One of the greatest hindrances that holds back the church, holds back the Christian from fulfilling his high calling. I believe his greatest hindrance is not the devil. It's his belief that he is supposed to live a normal life. That you're supposed to have a natural life. We were rebirthed in Him to be supernatural beings. And God's wanting to draw that supernatural out of our lives right now to go into the stupendous, into the phenomenal, into the beyond your all you could ask or think. As it says in Ephesians 3, right? God wants to accelerate you. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I want to help with some of the acceleration with some assignments. I don't know if people have been doing it or not. But I said, we're going to weekly start giving out assignments in the church, at least target weekly. With assignments like 3 weeks ago, I said, just been 2 weeks, every week find somebody to bless. Now, I'm not taking up names, who did it and who didn't. We may ask for some testimonies later. But were you just determined, I'm going to go bless somebody? And God moved in the situation. We may talk about laying hands on a sick person. The same power that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. All the power you need to heal the sick is within you. It's just believing you have the ability to bring it out and developing that ability. We talked about possibly having assignments to confess Scripture over our lives. Amen. Specific verses potentially. That you come in a week, you confess it, say it Scripture 5 times a day for an entire week. You come in, that Scripture will be down inside of you to some level. It's just a matter of application. What are you doing? Talking about accelerated development. You know, I've been to some different classes where it was just a classroom setting and you went and you learned what you needed to in class. And, you know, that was all you had to do. Like second grade, we had that kind of thing, you know, second grade. They teach you how to spell the words in second grade and how to add in second grade or whatever, you know. Hey, and you can learn it in class. But if you really want to be accelerated in your development, those classes would give you homework. You're not going to learn how to do, you know, higher math, algebra, physics, problems, chemistry, just in class setting. You have to go home and try it. So I did. I did chemistry at home. Still do at times. Amen. Wonder what happens when you mix this. Have you seen that video on Facebook of that guy? He's kind of a redneck looking guy that doing a home experiment of an explosive, and it virtually levels his kitchen. He's got on the table and he's pointing out, I just add this to this and we should get this reaction. All of a sudden, whoom, and the whole screen goes, you know, smoke. And when it clears, he's in his hair all up like this. Yeah. His glasses all tilted and he's covered and sitting. He goes, well, that was a more of a reaction than I expected, something like that, amen. I might add a few of those myself. Amen. How to apply specific kingdom principles in our life. We want to make these assignments. Well, who are you to give me homework? It's voluntary. Amen. I mean, Jesus said, hey, if you don't want to go, come with me, go. If you're here for the Happy Meals, get on out of here. I'm looking for serious students. Now, I'm not trying to run you off. What I'm trying to say is, you get to choose how much you want to accelerate your development. The kingdom of God is not a force-feed program. Amen. It's not, hey, you're not moving till you eat that broccoli. It's that you choose. And what the teacher does is Jesus would say, hey, that broccoli's full of vitamins and nutrients. You need to eat that for your own health and development. If you really want to develop, eat the broccoli. Oh, okay. Now, to understand, I'll eat the broccoli. Yeah, try that with your third grader. My wife still hates vegetables. She says she loves them because she says, I eat broccoli. No, she doesn't. She eats butter and cheese. Broccoli's merely the holder. Amen. She doesn't like green beans. She likes ham hocks and salt. And the green beans are merely carriers of that flavor. There's a point in this somewhere. I don't make you do this. God didn't make you do anything. He tells you the advantages of following the kingdom. You build your house on the rock versus the sand. You know, you'll live and not die. But you choose what you do. And I'm just trying to see if we can, as a church, get excited about accelerating. That hearty amen. I was listening to a preacher yesterday on CD. I actually listened to Bill Winston. And he was teaching and teaching and teaching. And he got to preaching really loud. And he was saying things like, can I get an amen? You know, do you agree? And, you know, and of course people are shouting and hollering, but I'm going like, I agree. And a lot of people, when they hear shouting preaching, they get excited and start shouting. I usually don't because I'm absorbing. I'm too busy absorbing to be concerned about shouting. Now, there's a time or two I might shout or you find when something really hits me, but I'm here to let the word of God permeate me. So I understand when you don't say amen, you fully agree, you're just letting it soak in. We talked about challenging ourselves to do faith stretches, to do inner searches for buttons and levers that cause us to go off or act in an ungodly or, how can I say, non-sanctified fashion. By giving your testimony to people. Talking about the power of God. I believe I tripped out a guy the other day. I was at the pool store getting some chemicals. And the guy was asking me about my motorcycle. Then he said something about the church. And I started talking about our ministry. And Pastor Callan sees every kind of miracle, because I was there for Pastor Callan's account. He sees all these miracles take place, and we've seen the dead raised and everything. He's going like, "Do what? Hey, testify. People need to know that there is real power available in the church." Well, they would think I was crazy. Well, what do you think they thought about Paul? They thought he was crazy everywhere he went, but he changed the world. Sometimes your world-changing walk begins with your willingness to be embarrassed or rejected or scoffed or mocked. If your goal is to get along with everybody and not threaten anybody's comfort zones, you will never be effective in the kingdom of God. We talked about blessing someone, about addressing your own personal roadblocks, possibly about fasting. Last week we said find a time during the week you can pray in tongues for 30 minutes nonstop. And I'm sure everybody did that one, right? Amen. Again, there's no condemnation. We're doing it just to challenge ourselves to step forward faster. One of the series that I really enjoy, I have this series, but I loaned it out and I need to get it back. But have you guys ever seen Band of Brothers? About Easy Company in World War II? You haven't seen that, Tom? I got to get that back and let you see it. It's a mini series about Easy Company, who parachuted into Normandy and made the trip all the way across France into Germany through the Battle of the Bulge, and what they went through. And it's based on a book that was written by one of the members of this company, and it's extremely true to life, personal accounts. They became the most decorated, or one of the most decorated regiments in World War II. You've heard about the Battle of the Bulge? Well, it was the 101st Airborne. They held off Hitler's thrust to try to push past Bastogne. They held him off with next to nothing. And so, but their whole effort started with a time of training at Toccoa, Georgia. That's where Bobby Jean is from, where she lives today. And there was a mountain there called Currahee, and they went up this mountain. I don't remember how many miles it was up the mountain, time and time again under full pack. And they're for the entire war, what would be their motto when they would holler at Currahee? And they recognized their ability, went back to their training. Well, praise God, we're in a time of training. That God gives us opportunities to train before the actual need. Because there's coming some times ahead, you're going to need your training. I'm telling you, things in this world are about to go into fruit basket upset. I mean, things are about, the apple cart's about to flip. I mean, watch the news. When's the last time you saw riots and protests over an election speech that aren't even really that closely tied to what he's saying or doing? Things are crazy out there. I mean, we don't know what's going to take place. However, I know God's got a motorboat going upriver. The revivalists will be able to get on and escape some of the chaos. But I believe to get on that boat, you've got to accept the training. It's not going to be, "Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, welcome aboard." It's going to be, have you stepped forward and learned to use your faith to overcome the obstacles that represent you stepping aboard? Amen. And God's grace is providing us time to develop, to not just survive, but I believe even be leaders in His end time glory movement. The presence of God is here this morning. I'm hoping that these words are penetrating your hearing. And so when I say God's got us in a time of accelerated development, there are two ways you develop in the kingdom of God. Two incentives for development. One are your circumstances, and two is your desire. You can let circumstances push you in a corner where you've got to use your faith to come out. Or you can let your faith march forward before the circumstances have rule over you. Do you follow what I'm talking about? In other words, you can just sit back and, you know, eat Oreos and until everything so starts to collapse around you that, you know, they're wanting to repossess your car and your house and, you know, they've already taken your phone and you know, you've got these symptoms all over your physical body and things are, and finally you say, I've had enough of this. I'm going with Jesus. You start confessing the word and you come out. You let circumstances push you in a corner and you let faith bring you out. What would happen instead if you take the offensive and say, I'm going to train now and develop positive spiritual momentum now so when I come against these circumstances, I roll right over them? How much more fun would it be to always have everything paid 6 months in advance than be 3 months behind? And the same faith that will take you out is the same faith you can use to keep you ahead. But once initiated out of requirement because of circumstances, the others initiate out of desire to be in the forefront of what God's doing. Am I making any sense this morning? And you choose how much you'll go on the offensive. Most Christians don't want to use their faith. They don't want to launch out spiritually at any great level. They're willing just to try to make it through life and get into heaven. But God's looking for a people that'll be like the 12 that will say, to whom else shall we go? Prep me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Give me opportunities. See, I want to be one of those people that are after God without having to be after God. That is birthed out of a desire to hear when I'm done with this that He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord, right? But I recognize it's a volunteer army. And I choose how much I'll be aggressive towards moving towards Him. And I believe God's always given us opportunities to move in. But how many are we unwilling to step through? And I want to be one that takes Him up on every opportunity. And if I miss one, if I drop a baton, I say, God, I'm sorry I blew that one. Give me another chance. Give me another opportunity. Oh, Lord, I guess I didn't follow you there. I don't know what I was thinking to miss that opportunity, but give me another chance to do it. God's looking for people that He can accelerate. And one at a time, I believe, have enhanced, increased, accelerated developmental opportunities. Don't ask me to say that again. And I want to be all in. So if Jesus took the first century church into accelerated development, how much more will He have to take the end time glory manifesting church into accelerated development? Because the world today is a whole lot bigger. Amen. And we're going to step into a whole lot more of His power than the first century church knew. They stepped into miracle power. We're going to move into the glory. And the glory contains within it miracle power as well. Let's see. Luke chapter 6. Let me go to some verses here. I'm so excited about today. You know what I'm excited about? I get to go after service and sit in the presence of God. I already know it. I already know. I'm going to sit because I'm there now. It's going to be on me. It's been on me. I just go just get set and set with God. Oh, hallelujah. And if you got a hold of this morning, you probably will get to also. And I love it. I love it. See, I love when we're in these intense prayer times and the anointing, it just comes on you and you just can't even get off the floor, don't want to move off the chair or whatever. It's like, God, oh, let me stay here. So you may know what I'm speaking about. Well, guess what? It's as much fun to go through your normal day and you're working in the garage, working on the car, making supper, and it's still there. It's just there. And you're going like, God, you're so good. Just give me a minute to enjoy it. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 6, have you got it? Go to verse 46. Jesus says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Remember the sayings were the principles of the kingdom? How the kingdom operates? And doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, and lay the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. In other words, is the ability we have to build a house that the storms cannot shake. But look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately, say immediately, it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, we have two houses built. You could represent two churches, two lives. In fact, I believe both of these point to Christians, or proclaiming Christians, because they both heard the sayings. Just one didn't do them. One heard the principles, they just didn't apply them. So they built, both did the work to build a house. We'll just consider it a spiritual house. You are the house of God, right? You're God's habitation. So this house is built, but when the storm came, one house stood, but the other house suddenly or immediately fell. I'm sure that both homeowners thought their houses would stand against whatever. Both of them looked at their houses and said, well, my church is bigger than his. Or, you know, it's got better decorations. Or, you know, mine's made of brick. His is made of, you know, vinyl siding. And probably thought they had a superior house. Well, you know, my house is, you know, got this denominational title it's had for, you know, 200 years, and so we're protected, we're safe, and our house, our denomination has this many, much money in the bank, and, you know, we're debt-free and whatever. And looks like a perfectly safe, fortified house. But one had a foundation, and one didn't. So the one that took time, it says to dig deep. Dig deep and laid a foundation. Who laid the foundation? The homeowner did. God didn't lay the foundation. The homeowner laid the foundation. The rock is Jesus. But the homeowner dug deep to get to Jesus to lay this foundation. So they did the upfront preparatory work. The unseen work. The work that is most likely in conjunction with the God of the unseen. To lay a foundation, I'm sure, of spiritual understanding, of learning the anointings, of building their faith and their knowledge of the Word and building that within them, So they did enough preparatory work. May take you 20 years, may take you 40 years. Amen. We don't know how deep that wall, that rock was down there for him to build upon. But he got down to the root. And he built a foundation of doing the sayings of Jesus, of applying himself to the spiritual principles of God. Even before there was a storm, he did the advance work. He allowed himself to be developed. You know, they call a new housing project a development, right? He allowed himself to be developed with the proper upfront effort. So when the shakings took place, when the storms manifested, he was prepared to stand. So you can take time now. Are you listening to me? You can take time now to let Jesus take you through a set of immediate spiritual development opportunities, or later you can have an immediate result of your house falling. Do you see this tie? Next week, we're not ending yet, but next week is Resurrection Day. I'm going to take you through the set of immediately's they went through. From the garden to the cross. You talk about an accelerated schedule to crucify our Lord and Savior. And you think he's not going to accelerate the end time church? You can either let God bring you into accelerated development now, or risk later immediately collapses. Because when the storms come, they come up fast. Remember the mega storm in Mark 4? There arose a storm. They weren't expecting that. And storms are coming. Jesus told the religious leaders of his time. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. You know, you can say, hey, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. So you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a seminary degree to look out and see things are poised for a major shaking. And we're going to see tsunami waves or storms hit like the world's never seen, I believe. But you have an opportunity to be grounded now. All it takes is a desire to say, God, accelerate my training. And how much do you want? Now, me, when I got saved, I think I went into accelerated training right away. To some level. I mean, I was in the Word hours and hours every day. And it was God drawing on me this. And I said, God, I want to catch up. I'm 30 years old. I got some catching up to do. And so I went to this place of going after God with everything I had. And, you know, I hear people say, I think I mentioned it Thursday night, I hear people say, well, you know, I'd like to be a Christian, but, you know, I'm just having too much fun right now. I thought I was having fun before I was saved. I really did. I didn't get saved because I was in desperation. I thought I was having fun. I mean, get drunk three or four nights a week? Hey. I mean, I've hugged more toilets than you can count. I'm telling you what. Hangover was at least a weekly occurrence in my life, if not multiple times. And I thought, oh, what a fun time I'm having. But since I've been saved, it's like when I got saved, I hit the ground running. And I've not had a boring day since. Who was it I heard? It was a movie, a Jerry Lewis movie we saw yesterday. Jerry Lewis was this wealthy guy, Which Way to the Front. Really stupid movie. We watch it just in Jerry Lewis tradition. And he's just supposed to be the world's wealthiest man. And he goes, but I'm so bored. I've done everything. I've not known a boring day since I've been saved. I don't know what boredom is. My workload and my opportunities to minister are so long, I can't ever think of getting them all done. I have a saying that I tell you guys. You may not understand it, but here's what it is. You'll say, Pastor, can we do this or can we do it? And I'll say, remind me. Yes, but remind me when it's time. Well, because the list is so long, I don't want to get buried. We should write it down. I do write a lot of this down. I've got lists. And I got to go through the list and find out which ones I'm going to do. So don't let me forget your item. Amen. It's not that I don't care. It just gets flooded. And God wants to take all of us into a place where we let the list of the worldly stuff, the natural stuff, just go and accelerate into this thing of following Him and His opportunities. Now, you can't quit your job. Again, I heard Bill Winston say this yesterday. He was telling his people, don't go quit your job. If you don't have faith to believe God for money now or whatever now, you're not going to have it once you quit your job. You got to hear God on something like that. Amen? But ask Him for ministry opportunities. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This really is a follow-on to what we just read with Jesus and the sayings, right? Remember Jesus said, if you hear and do my sayings? Well, James chapter 1 verse 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Does that sound like the same thing? Jesus is the word, right? Made flesh. And you can hear and do or not do. So if anybody be a hearer of the word and do them, or not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural instead of his supernatural face in a glass. Do you see that? And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. A guy looks in the mirror. Now we can interpret this a few ways. Follow me on this path. And man looks in the mirror. You looked in the mirror probably this morning, right? Checking everything out. Passing the mirror test. And you're looking in the mirror and you see how you look in the natural. Right? Did anybody look in the mirror this morning see an aura coming off, you know? Woo! Halos. Angels standing all around. You saw your natural face. You saw yourself based in the natural. Here's a man. He's a hearer but not a doer. So when he looks in the mirror, all he sees is the natural. All he sees is natural circumstances, natural power, man's ability. He may think he looks really good in the mirror. May think, ooh, you're Mr. Slick today. But he's seeing the natural. And he's seeing the limitations of the natural. Amen? And even though he's born again, he go with his way and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was because all he saw was the natural. You're not a natural man. You're a supernatural man. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. You're filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power, right? Now, we can interpret this two different ways. We're looking at this one right now. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the real mirror, right? And continueth therein, in the liberty. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Paul talked about in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we look in the mirror, right, in a glass, and we're changed from glory to glory. Well, here's the same glass, the mirror of the Word, right? The perfect law of liberty. And it says here, if we're a doer, a hearer and a doer, we're blessed. You'll be blessed. In other words, you'll win. You'll overcome. You'll be victorious. You'll thrive. The breakdown was being a doer versus just a hearer. A hearer is sufficient just to go to church and hear a message. A doer does the homework. You trying to make me do homework? No, no, no. I'm telling you, there's opportunities to learn more than just what you learned during the hour sermon. There's opportunities to go home and apply it. Say, God, I learned some great things. Now, give me opportunities to apply it. And God will bring you divine appointments, open doors of opportunities, situations you can speak into, storms you can speak peace to, areas you can bring the atmosphere of peace into, the love of God into. If nothing else, learn just to develop an anointing and study and recognize where it's at. And then let nothing mess with it. One of the lessons I've been trying to learn is to, when I go to a place and I've got peace, but I go in and there's unrest, is to be alert to the atmosphere and not let it mess with the peace that I have. And I failed that one many times. You follow me? I'll let somebody else's unrest affect my peace. Guess what? You get to keep retesting on the test you fail. I'm not talking about, that I go berserk, but all of a sudden I just don't have the peace I had. I start reacting to their situation or their discomfort versus keep the peace that I'm to carry and let my peace affect their attitudes. Isn't God good to let us apply these lessons? Luke chapter 12. I feel the recliner anointing hitting me. Recliner, Bible, me and God. And Patty can make me lunch. Just kidding. She'll make me take her out to lunch. I know how she is. Luke 12, verse 35. Jesus says, let your loins be girded about. The New American Standard says, be in expectation. In other words, when your loins are girded, you're ready to get up and go. You're ready in a moment's notice. You don't have to spend 2 hours getting ready. I understand this, and this is not meant to be, sarcastic or convicting or, demeaning. But Patty and I have different getting ready schedules. Right? I mean, if we're going out, I can be ready in 5 minutes if I have to. Hers is set the clock, and there's a whole lot of preparatory work to be done. I don't think she ever needs it, but she does. So we have to schedule in hour and a half, hour preparatory work to go out somewhere. What you're doing, right? Right. From the whole start to finish. 45 minutes. Women and clocks. And I appreciate the end results. I appreciate the beginning, you know, workmanship as well. So it doesn't bother me she takes it. I recognize there's a different time frame. Me, it's, let's go. You gonna change clothes? No, I put these on 3 days ago. They're fine. I'm ready. Knock some dirt off your knees and go. And then you always hear, are you wearing that? Well, I didn't want to go naked. But if she knows, if I call, if I was to say, now I'd probably be in trouble for this, but I was going to say, when I get home, let's immediately go out and eat. I'm going to take you to Ruth's Chris for steak or whatever, you know. And she says, when are you getting home? I says, I don't know. I'm kind of tied up. I'll be there as quick as I can. It could be anywhere from, it could be from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. She's not going to like that. But when I get home, she'll be ready. In other words, she would have done the preparatory work already. Now it's just let me put on my coat or whatever. Grab my purse. She's ready to go. She did the preparatory work. Well, that's what it means to have your loins girded. You're dressed and ready to go. That was a long way to get about to this explanation, wasn't it? But I tried to give you more understanding. You are ready to go. Actually, what they would do in girding the loins, they would wear these, the men even would wear these, the skirts, skirts. But when it was time to run, they would reach behind and pull the bottom skirt, pull it through, and tuck it in. Now they're ready to run. Their loins were girded. And so, Jesus saying, be ready to run. And your light's burning. That means you're seeing. You have your torch or your lamp operational. You can see. Amen. And to some level, you're on fire. You're ready to go. He says in verse 36, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. Now, here he's talking about, this is an end time reference. He's talking about the wedding now. Be ready to answer the call when the groom comes. We could say here, be developed. Have your foundation dug deeply and put in place. Be a doer but not a hearer. Do your homework. Do the advanced work. Be developed and prepared. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. They may open unto him immediately. Say immediately. In other words, be in expectation for an immediate. God's got opportunities he needs you immediately ready for. You're not going to have time to say, well, let me go bury my parents, or let me go, you know, take care of my wife, or whatever the excuses they made in Scripture. I have 12 yoke of oxen, let me go try them. You're going to have time for all that. You're going to need to be ready when God opens the door. You know, you get a call and somebody says, we need you to come and pray for Aunt Clara. The doctors told Clara she's got hours to live, or, you know, some other major situation. You say, Mom, I really haven't had time to pray these last 2 weeks. Give me about 2 days to get prayed up so I can go. Clara doesn't have two days. She got 4 hours. Now, I know that's kind of a facetious example. But if we stayed ready, think how many more opportunities God could bring us into. Stayed charged up. And God wants to bring us into a set of immediately. It says in verse 37, blessed are those servants. Apparently there's more than one. And apparently there are people that will be in expectation and ready. Now it's talking about the wedding, right? Weddings referring to end times. I believe we could apply that to us. Apparently in the end times there will be ready servants. Blessed are those ready servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching, involved, doing. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, now Jesus is saying this, right? If Jesus came to you, let's say He came to you in a vision, and He said, and this know, would you pay attention? Right. He just did. We have a more sure word of prophecy, because it's in the red in our book. And this know, that if the good man of the house, are you the good man of the house? Or the good woman of the house? Or the good kid of the house? You're good. Had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Therefore ye be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh an hour when ye think not. Now understand, Jesus is not a thief. But if you had a signal, in other words, say you're down the street and you get a call from your neighbor and says, it looks like somebody's breaking into your house. You'd be down there right away, right? You'd be calling 911. You'd be down there locked and loaded. You'd be ready to put a stop to it. And we're coming into situations the thief is going to try to steal from you. Circumstances are going to try to rob you of what's rightfully yours. And the one that's alert, that's prepared, will be ready to shut down those situations. In the same fashion, Jesus is coming back for people that are ready. I still do not believe the rapture is going to catch up the entire church. Not the first load, because the bride has made herself ready. And I want to be, and I know you too, in that first load. But God's called us to wake up and allow Him to cooperate with the developmental process and seek Him for opportunities to advance. Well, listen, we'll pick it up with this next week with the crucifixion. But I want you to continue with your homework opportunities. Your homework for this week is to ask God for an opportunity that you would not normally see to minister to somebody. Whether to pray for them, to lay hands on them, to visit them, whatever, that God would bring you an extra opportunity. Amen? And be telling God, God, you bring it to me, I'll be obedient to answer that call. And He may surprise some of you, right? Let's go ahead and put our confession up as we close.